Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church.
May God bless your worship with us today.
Thank you. Please stand. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Good morning and welcome to worship on this fifth Sunday of Easter. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg. Welcome to those of you watching this at home. What a beautiful day that the Lord has made, even though it is a little cloudy out there and it looks like the rain might start any moment. We know that God sends his blessings to us. Certainly that is true on any day that we are able to gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ to receive his gifts as God rains his word and his grace down upon us here in this sanctuary. Today, as we worship the Lord, we will follow Divine Service Setting 2, which is found on page 167. And we begin, as always, with our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue now with the introit printed on the inside cover of the bulletin. Praise the Lord! Sing to the Lord a new song. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his saints. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word.
The first reading for this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 6. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in numbers, a complaint by the Hellenites arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the unity of the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the Freemen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You have received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed toward him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold their sins against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord. Taken from 1 Peter chapter 2. like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves will likely, like living stones, are being put up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood and to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you to believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people from his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but you are now God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." This is the gospel of the Lord. And now, having heard the word of God, we join together with millions of Christians around the world in speaking the words of our common Christian faith. This morning, we will confess the Nicene Creed. We confess, "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. The sermon hymn today is number 480, He's Risen, He's Risen. Please stand. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text for the sermon today is the epistle, which once again this week comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, This week, we get to look at the first half of the chapter, and Peter is still making this point about how our faith life is kind of related to a building. He uses that metaphor. He talks about us as living stones. He comes at it from a little bit of a different perspective, maybe a different angle in this passage, where he talks about how Jesus is the cornerstone, and we are the living stones that are built upon that cornerstone. And just as Christ was rejected in the world, so are we rejected in the world. But also, just like Christ, we are seen as precious and chosen in the eyes of our Father in heaven. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today is May 7th, which might not seem like a big deal to many of you, but for us in the American Lutheran Church, it gives us an opportunity to talk about a little bit of our church history, because May 7th is the date when 136 years ago, May 7th, 1887, that was the day that a certain man died in St. Louis, Missouri, the same way that he had lived, which is to say, he died in Christ. And the man that I'm talking about is the one whose picture is printed for you in the bulletin, on the last page of the bulletin. It looks like this. I know some of you were taking a look at this guy and trying to figure out what in the world was this all about, right? So this strikingly handsome man before you is known as Carl Ferdinand Wilhelm, or better known as C.F.W. Walther. C.F.W. Walther. And yeah, okay, so he's not very photogenic, maybe not really a heartthrob, if you would call him, but you know, I could say that with all the celebrity pastors we have in the world on TV today, I mean, this guy could preach circles around any of them. C.F.W. Walther is probably known to many of you who remember the days of the youth group organization called the Walther League. It was named after him. C.F.W. Walther was the first president of the synod that we now call the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It used to be the Synod of Missouri and Ohio and other states. He also was the president of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. And as if that wasn't enough for one person to do, he also was a parish pastor. He served at the church that is now known as the historic Trinity Lutheran Church in the St. Louis neighborhood of Soulard. And there were at least three other congregations that he helped with on and off throughout the years. So pretty much this guy, C.F.W. Walther, was the closest thing that we have to there being a Lutheran superhero in the late 1800s in America. Now, Walther was nicknamed the American Luther. And there were some similarities between C.F.W. Walther's ministry and Martin Luther's ministry 350 years or so before him. One of the similarities is that Walther, just like Luther, faced some really difficult moments in his ministry and in his personal life as well. He dealt with spiritual warfare, just like Luther did. There was one particularly rough moment for Walther when he was almost 50 years old or so, when he had pretty much what we would call depression today. And he was dealing with a whole bunch of stuff all at once. There were things that were going on in his personal life and things happening on a broader scale. For his family, he had seen two of his six children die at a very young age because of some illnesses. And he himself was dealing with this really mysterious physical ailment that was affecting his throat. It was affecting his voice. And for somebody whose vocation requires them to do a whole lot of public speaking, after a while, this became a source of his depression too. But with all those things going on at home, with his family, with himself, on a bigger scale, this synod, this church body that he was in charge of and responsible for, and he himself was under a whole lot of criticism from people from all over the country, particularly Lutherans in other parts of America, who were frustrated that Walther was so conservative in his theology. There were many who were frustrated that Walther was clinging to the teachings of Martin Luther when it came to things like altar and pulpit fellowship with other church bodies, or when it came to things like the inerrancy of Scripture. These kinds of issues, people were thinking that Walther was trying to be like someone who came out of the 16th century, that he really wanted to be kind of like that sort of era, that he wanted that in America. And they would say, you know, not literally this, but they would say, look, this isn't your grandpa's church anymore, right? We need something new. We need a new vision for the church in the new world. And so Walther, thankfully, didn't give in to all of that pressure that was around him. And even to this day, we can still say that we benefit from all of the resilience that Walther showed back in those days. But with all of that going on, with all of those conversations, all that difficulty that Walther was facing, he basically had a sort of mental breakdown in the middle of all of it. He kind of had like a midlife crisis, or I don't know what phrase you'd use for it, but he needed a break. That's what it came down to. He needed a break. And he got one, actually. So his congregation in Soulard loved him so much that they raised funds in order to send him back to Germany for a while, to put him on a boat, send him across the Atlantic so that he could get some much-needed rest and recuperation over in the fatherland, over in Germany. And so that's what he did. That was in the spring of 1860. And we know that Easter Sunday that year was on April 8th. And on April 8th, C.F.W. Walther was still on the boat. He was still in the middle of the Atlantic celebrating Easter, and for the first time in a long time, he didn't have a lot of other things to do. So he sat down and he wrote music. He wrote the Easter hymn that we just sang as our sermon hymn. He wrote the hymn, "He's Risen, He's Risen." He wrote the words and the music to that hymn, which is just absolutely amazing. It's the only one in our hymnal that he wrote, and we still sing it to this day. And when you think about all the things that were going on in C.F.W. Walther's life at the time, and then you just look at some of these victorious words that he wrote in this hymn, it's absolutely amazing. He says, "Death, hell, and Satan, Jesus vanquished his foes. Where is your sting, death? We fear you no more." And even in the last stanza, you're talking about a guy who had essentially lost his voice. And what does he say in the last stanza? "Then sing your hosannas and raise your glad voice. Proclaim the blessed tidings that all may rejoice." Clearly, this period of rest was doing a lot of good for Walther. And more importantly, it's an example of how God comforts us when we finally take time to be in the Word, much needed time. And I know we're all busy too, but when we spend time in God's Word, He uses that Word to bring comfort, to allow us to rejoice even in the midst of our sorrow. Walther didn't need some sort of new, flashy, contemporary American message in order to be brought up out of the dumps. What he needed was something that was honestly really, really old. He needed to go back to the old, timeless comfort of the Easter resurrection gospel, that Jesus not only died, but rose again for Walther and for all of us. And that is what was powerful enough to take this superhero Lutheran pastor and bring him up out of some really deep, dark despair. Nothing new, really something old. And I know that we can all relate on some level, okay? I understand that we all haven't been in these kinds of like huge ministry intense situations like Walther was once upon a time. But every single one of us knows what it's like to feel overwhelmed. Every single one of us knows what it's like to maybe wonder why God allows certain things to happen in our lives the way that he does. If he says to us in his word that he loves us and he cares about us, then why am I so stressed out with all of these things that are happening in my life? We know what that feels like. And we also understand that that's what the Christians were feeling like that Peter was writing to in this epistle reading, that they had these kinds of moments too, where they were overwhelmed. And we've been going through this letter of 1 Peter in these weeks of the Easter season. One of the things that we've noticed along the way is that one of the main reasons that Peter wrote this letter was to bring comfort to Christians who were suffering and were actually going through persecution. Now, Peter, in this passage, is saying essentially that his hearers are connected to Jesus because Jesus was also rejected by the world, right? But Jesus was considered precious to God the Father, and so that means so are they, and that means so are you, and so is me. And so we look at that and we say, thankfully, with all of the things that are happening around you, with all of the people in your life that criticize you and try to tear you down and treat you unfairly, the one thing that really matters more than any of that is, how does God treat you? What does God think of you? And thankfully, what God thinks of you has nothing to do with anything you've done. What God thinks of you has everything to do with Christ's righteousness and not your own. And so we have this amazing quote in this passage from Psalm 118, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone," which is obviously a reference to Jesus, but Peter's making this point that we are also living stones that are built upon that chief cornerstone, right? The church of Jesus Christ has been built up slowly by the Holy Spirit over time. And when we are a part of that, we are part of something much bigger than ourselves. Every year that goes by stone, right? Moment by moment, the Holy Spirit continues to build us up together. And we're not just talking about the last 2,000 years of history in the Christian church either. We're talking about going all the way back to the beginning, all the way back to Adam and Eve. All of the believers from the time of the Old Testament, they are part of this spiritual house as well, little by little, stone by stone, being built up into an amazing spiritual house. Now, it says in Peter's writing here, for those who don't believe, for those who don't get it, then the faith that we all share as living stones becomes, quote, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. That's what it says in verse 8. And yeah, when people stumble and when people get offended, they tend to lash out, and that's what happens against the church. But we can withstand anything that comes our way because of what it also says here about who we are. We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that we may proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We give thanks today and every day for the opportunity to worship the Lord as part of a house of living stones that has been around here a whole lot longer than we have. It's really comforting to know that in every single generation, faith in Jesus Christ transcends whatever happens to be the popular opinions or ideas of the time. We can go back to any generation before us. We can look back at the ministries of Peter, St. Peter, or the ministry of Martin Luther, or the ministry of C.F.W. Walther, and every single time you look at what was going on in those days, we realize there's really nothing new under the sun. We're not the first generation to wrestle with a culture that doesn't value the same things that God values and doesn't seem to be as interested as we are in living a life that's in service to God and in service to his word. We're not the first generation. We certainly won't be the last. But the correct solution to that problem has never been to start coming up with a whole bunch of ways so that we can try to like blend in with the culture around us so we can look and act and sound like people who have rejected Christ so that, you know, maybe they'll like us more or maybe they'll accept us more. We don't need a new message. We don't need a new gospel to help us navigate life in the 21st century. What we need is something old. What we need is what God's people have always had. What we need is to hear the old, old story of Easter, of a Savior who died and rose again, and who promises us eternal life for all those who believe in Him. Look around you. This is Grandpa's church. Literally, for many of you, this is the church your grandparents worshiped in, right? This is it. It's the church of Walther. It's the church of Luther. It's the church of Peter. It's the church of St. Stephen, who we heard about from the book of Acts, as we heard about his martyrdom today. It's the church going back even further than that. The church of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, the church of Isaiah and Jeremiah, the church of David, the church of Solomon, the church of Moses, the church of Abraham. This is the Lord's church. When you're tired and overwhelmed in your life and you can't just drop everything you have in front of you and get on a boat and go out into the middle of the Atlantic somewhere, you still can attend Grandpa's church, where the message is and always will be the same. Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We have a few updates for the prayer list today. This week we have a few upcoming surgeries. One that's not listed here is Gail Grathwall. Gail will be having hip replacement surgery this coming Wednesday. We also will be praying for Tim Schnicker, who is having surgery to relieve some pain issues that he's been having. He'll be having that surgery on Tuesday. We also lift before the Lord today the family of Marie Unverfurt-Kova. That would be the sister of Eunice Brink, who passed away in Florida about a week and a half ago. And not in your bulletin, we will also be lifting before the Lord the family of Conchetta Stein. That would be the grandmother of Karis Meyer, who passed away last Sunday and received her Christian burial on this past Friday. Please stand as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, through the power of Christ's resurrection, you adopt all who believe in him. Receive us as your newborn children and nourish our faith through the pure spiritual milk of your word, that we may dwell in your presence forever. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you have promised to build up your church to be a holy priesthood, that your people might offer spiritual sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving acceptable to you. Bless your church and bring all congregations together. Bless all pastors who proclaim Christ to us. Bless church workers and those preparing for full-time church vocations, that we may be supplied with faithful leaders and servants of your word. Bless also our partners in mission and ministry, including Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic, and our sister congregation, Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School in Oakville, and their pastor, Eric Wood. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, build up the households of your people, that families may grow in your grace and share together in your forgiveness and life. Look with favor upon all who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Nancy, Emma, Stacy, Eowyn, Randy, Dennis, and Ronald. May they continue to grow in love and service to you throughout their days on earth. We also praise you for the gift of Christian marriage. We ask you to be with all who are celebrating wedding anniversaries, including Earl and Shirley Schnicker. Help them to reflect the love of Christ in everything they say and do. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, your power brought all things into being and still preserves what you have made. Bless Joe Biden, our president, the Congress of the United States, J.B. Pritzker, our governor, and all elected and appointed civil servants. Lead them to honor you and your purpose, establishing order and justice, encouraging virtue, and protecting all life. Give them wisdom and moderation to lead for the well-being of the nation. Guide and protect those who serve in the armed forces of our nation, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, Alex, Mark, and Jalen. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Heavenly Father, for the sake of your dear Son, who has restored all things by his cross, grant healing, comfort, deliverance, and peace to those in need. Bless the sick, the sorrowing, the anxious, the fearful, the homebound, the homeless, the dying, and all who have requested our prayers, especially all who are on our prayer list, Thretta, Norman, Bill, Jim, Bessie, and Brian, who live in care facilities, those who are currently hospitalized, especially Parker and Marla, those who have upcoming surgeries, especially Gail and Tim and Mary, and those with ongoing health needs and concerns, Nelda, Ray, Joan, Bobby, Marvin, Amy, Patrick, Lorene, Beulah, Carolyn, Wayne, Bailey, Linda, Sam, Laverne, Samantha, and all those who are fighting cancer. At the last, give them entrance into your heavenly kingdom. Comfort all who mourn, especially the family and friends of Marie Unverfurt-Kova, and also the family and friends of Conchetta Stein. Give them hope in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Lord, in your mercy, Father of the risen Christ, you give us the crucified and risen body and blood of our Lord in this Holy Supper. Let us taste that the Lord is good and continually grow up into salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your servant, Saint Stephen, whom your Son has received into his glory. May we imitate him in faith and love to speak your truth with boldness, forgiving those who sin against us as Christ forgave his persecutors from the cross. When our last hour comes, let us fall asleep in him and be born into eternal life for the sake of him who was born into our flesh to redeem it, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. And at this time, I'll invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Please stand. We sing together the offertory on page 176. We continue now with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, In giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Please stand. We turn now to page 181. We sing our post-communion canticle, Thank the Lord.
Lord, and sing his praise to
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. The closing hymn is Stand Up for Jesus. Please remain standing.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Some announcements for you today. On the backside of the strikingly handsome photo of CFW Walther, you have a reminder that this afternoon there is going to be a special event at Christ Our Rock Lutheran High School, a Broadway review featuring the Christ Our Rock Choir and the Broadway kids from area Lutheran grade schools. That will be at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Admission is free, so come on out and hear some good music this afternoon. A few other things happening this week. We've got chime practice tomorrow night, and tomorrow is meeting night for stewardship, Board of Ed, and also the elders. We'll all be having our meetings tomorrow. We've got mixed choir rehearsal on Wednesday, and wanted to let you know in advance, next Sunday is Mother's Day, and so there's going to be an opportunity for you to purchase silk roses for Mom. That will be $2 per rose, and all of the proceeds go to the Washington County Right to Life. So those will be for sale next Sunday right after church. Any other announcements today? Okay, if not, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us today.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.